Let's do it.
Log Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Empowerment Saturday. Man. We got an excellent show for you today. Just hang on in there. Let's rock it. Let's talk it. Let's repair. Let's fix. Let's work on. Let's develop. Teach. Train. And much, much more. It's all about our people, y'all. We got to get the work done while we have time. Let's go, y'all. Oh, yeah. Better love. Oh, yeah. There is no better love. No better love than for self and kind. Welcome to Empowerment Saturdays, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment. Just for your main man, Marvin Rohn, and a crew coming to you live again. It's Empowerment Saturday. And today's theme is we must do the work. We must do the work. We must do the work. How? That's what we're going to talk about today. But the what is that we have to do the job of empowering ourselves. How do we do that? We have to educate ourselves, teach, train, and develop. I like train. I just do. I think training is important, particularly home training. But that's another subject for another time. So let's talk about the tenets and the mission of the NAAEA. So the mission of the National African American Empowerment Association is simple. Our mission is to ensure, listen carefully, that the needs of our are met through developing programs and services that motivate, inspire, and empower our people to do what? Improve, change. But we got to provide those services. We do. And we have the resources to do it. We just have to get to a place where we understand why we do what we need to do in order to get it done. Right? It's our job to improve our communities. It's not the other way around. It's our job. It's our job to take care of our children. It's our job to take care of our women, men. It's our job to take care of our men, women. It just is. That's what we have to do, and we have to continue to do that work. We have to continue to foster love within our community and within ourselves. That's our job, right? So, again, we're talking about developing those things, right, that empower each member, one, and then looking at the five core tenets of the peace concept. Listen carefully. We'll say it every week till we get it. Politics, living in America. Whether you want to be here or not, you need these tools and you need to understand how these systems work. And one day y'all going to say, you know what? That dude was right. That dude was right. Politics, you need a political agenda. You need a political strategy. And you have to execute that strategy day in and day out. 24/7, 365, advocating for what your needs are. And we got plenty of needs. We do. Who's advocating for us on Capitol Hill or wherever that is up there, and even in your state houses, right? We need that advocacy. We just do, because we need repair. We need restoration. You just can't heal on your own without help, and we need help, right? Some of us are not well. We just aren't in a lot of areas, but we have to do the work of working on ourselves, and that is what we must do. Economics. We have to have an economic agenda. You need that money in your pocket. You do, and you got to learn how to manage it. You got to learn how to develop it, right? You got to learn how to invest it. You got to understand the tenets of the American system and how it works. If you can train your children to understand how the system works, they can navigate it better. Let's go to athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. That's mental health, physical health, emotional health as well. You got to take care of your body. You got to push away from the table. You got to put some healthy nutrients inside of your body to stimulate your brain, right? Get your blood cells working. Get everything working well, right? Get away from the processed foods. Get away from the soda. I ain't saying don't have one every now and then. I'm not saying that, right? Moderation is the key, right? But if you got medications, if you have high blood pressure, all diabetes, whatever that is, you're going to have a plan and a program to get yourself off. And most important, you need to drink water. That's what I said today, water, W-A-T-E-R. Drink it, right? You need that, okay? You got to focus on your mental health. You got to take care of your mental condition, your emotional condition, right? And then you got to have a fitness plan and a fitness agenda that works for you. You need nutrition. You have to. Let's go to culture. C is culture. You need relevant cultural programs, right? Why? For a foundation, as a foundation for strengthening the individual culturally where they can feel proud of who they are. And if we could go into any setting proud of who we are, we don't have to bend, bow, scrape, and act like somebody else. All you got to do is be your best authentic self. That's all we're asking. That's what African-American empowerment is all about. It's all about being our authentic self. Although we've been altered and modified and had to adjust to the experience in this country, we're still there. Here's the next thing and last thing. It's education. We need a comprehensive education. We have to educate our children and our communities on what we need to do to strengthen ourselves. We need better families. We need committed fathers and mothers to bring children through. We need committed people. How about that? To mentor. We need committed investors that invest back into our children, back into our communities. We just do. We really need it. We need it desperately. We really do. All right. Stan Mack in a moment.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. But we must unify. And don't, let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
That is so true. So when we're talking about original kings and queens, we're talking about culturally, genetically. You come from great stock. You just do. So this conversation, listen to me, if you are of African-American descent, that's what we're targeting. That's the demographic. We're talking about people who have come out of American enslavement. That is the target group because that who needs help in this country, right? And so we're supporting. And we're believing in ourselves because, like Stan said, we got to stop trying to get in and fit in and just go and be our best selves and let the world continue to follow us. Because they are, believe it or not, the world is following you, people. But you have to become the person that you were born to be day in and day out. I'm going to go over to Brother George for the Kwanzaa and Willie Lynch moment. Brother George, you know how I like bringing you in. Let's go, y'all. Oh, yeah. Brother George.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine, brother. I always appreciate the invitation.
Thank you, sir. What you got for me this week?
Well, this week, the Kwanzaa principle is going to be Kumba, which is creativity. So always do as much as we can in any way that we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. And that's an outstanding goal, and it's very achievable. And I just think sometimes that we overthink things and we make simple things more complicated than what they have to be. So that's just
true.
Some food for thought. The Willie Lynch segment today I'm going to have to break it up into two segments, one this week and one next week, one part this week and one part next week. The book that I'm reading from today, quoting from, is SBA, The Reawakening of the African Mind. And this book was written by Asa G. Hilliard III. He's an ancestor now, and but I experienced a lot of great lectures from Asa Hilliard. And today I'm going to read from the segment that's called Problems to Overcome. African people face several critical challenges today. When we begin to understand the heart of the problem, we can take steps to overcome them. The problems can be summarized in part in this way. There is a belief problem. Excuse me, brother. There is a belief problem. Many people who serve our children do not believe that they have the capability to do what schools require. This belief is fed by psychology, the very academic field that is supposed to be a healing discipline. Psychologists continue to use the pseudoscience of mental measurement, and especially IQ. But while some of the research, such as that on effective schools, yields some benefits on a whole are rare. Number two, the problem of will. The noted and courageous educator Larry Cuban speaks about the three tiers of education. They include education for the rich, education in the wealthy suburbs, and education in the inner cities of the great urban areas where most of the African American children are. He says quite rightly that the third tier, the inner cities, are not a priority for the nation. We do not exhibit the will to guarantee that they succeed. School choice is only one example of the every dog for himself attitude. Some researchers have reported that school reform is opposed in some school districts precisely because it is perceived that minority children will benefit and that the children of the well-off will lose ground since they are being well served by the present system. We may also note that the widespread acceptance of school choice by liberals and conservatives hardly indicates a commitment to this third tier. The problem of ignorance. Few people are aware of public and private schools that are able to turn children's lives around and produce the highest levels of academic achievement and socialization. The ignorance of these models causes us to set our sights too low and demand too little of our professionals. There is the problem of cultural ignorance. Professionals do not understand African culture. Few have studied African culture, even though cultural knowledge is the foundation of respect for the group. Cultural knowledge is also a factor in building the teacher-student bond that is essential to a learning alliance. There is the problem of accountability. While professionals can serve our children for years, they are seldom held accountable for high level results. When children do not succeed, change must be made. There is a problem with the African community. Too many of us are asleep, dependent, unorganized, and not assuming our responsibilities. We rely almost totally on school structures and sometimes teachers who are alien to the community that they serve to socialize our children. There is the problem of inequality. Jonathan Kozo has described the savage inequalities that are prevalent in our society. While Kozo's work has been widely read and noted, there is no structural response to the things that he revealed. And I'll go into the second part next week. But essentially, he laid out what our children experience in school. And that, you know, all of these things that were mentioned, you know, it's like the way that he stated it was like, how do you say that they want to make change in the educational system? And many of us have experienced this with the school board, that we wanted to redo some of the curriculum, especially in history, to include the accomplishments of African Americans. But for them to do that would take away from the well-to-do and white community, because they know that a lot of it that they say that they've done, we actually did it. And if they change the history books to tell the truth, then that would make their children feel inferior. And so they're not going to do that to make our children feel accomplished. You know, so I just thought that, you know, particular segment of his book, it's a lot of stuff in it, you know, but I just thought I would go into that particular segment, and I will come with the conclusion next week. So, brother, do you have any, you know, questions that you'd like to respond
to? Yes, sir.
To?
Absolutely. In terms of education, for our children, African-American children, what's the first step to education, re-education?
The first step to re-education is we're going to have to be the ones to educate. I talked about this with a few other people that, it's, you know, we always get philanthropy to take care of our issues in this country. I ain't going to say always, but 99 times out of 100 we do. And we get philanthropy from outside people that really don't have our interests at heart. And some of them are do-gooders, and they think that they are really helping us out. But at times you have to take a look at, you know, the saying that they say, if you tell a lie long enough, that it will become believable, and it will eventually become what is perceived as the truth. So now you have people that call themselves helping you out that believe that this old lie, which is a new truth now, is the actual truth. And so when they are trying to help you to help our children, they actually think that they're right with what they're doing. And they're effectively miseducating our children. And so we have to figure out a way as black men and black women to put our resources together so that we can begin to educate our own children, even if we send them to school and say, whatever you do in school for right now, just do what you're instructed to do. But this is the real truth. This is the real you, what I'm telling you. So I want you to remember that. And when they come home, you know, to write papers, give them an Afrocentric book to write a term paper on. You know, so to me, basically, it falls right back in our lap once again, brother.
It's true. Thank you, Brother George. I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
What's the name of that book again?
SBA, The Reawakening of the African Mind by Asa G. Hilliard.
All right. Thank you, brother. We'll be looking forward to part two next week. Thank you, Brother George.
You're welcome.
Peace and blessings. Man, that's good. All right, here we go, y'all. We have to get to the real us, the real you, the real me, the essence of who we are, that creativity, the essence of who we are, that one of us can jump up in the air and spin around three times and dunk a basketball. That's the genius of who we are. The first computers, the women who charted the flight of the Apollo missions. That's genius. That's our genius. It's in us. But somehow we continue to buy into the inferiority model. At times, not all of us. But we're going to have to do a better job of educating our people, right? Recommitting ourselves to a different type of conditioning. The mental conditioning of loving yourself, of being positive, of being a positive reflection, of building and healing and not tearing up and destroying. Almost everywhere you go in this country where there is a majority of African Americans, you're going to find dysfunction. You're going to find impoverished communities where people are afraid for their lives and they're traumatized. But it is up to us to rescue our own people from ourselves. We've been indoctrinated. We've been hurt. A lot of us are in pain right now, and we have to help each other heal. How do you do that? Several ways. The first thing is you got to educate yourself. Then we're going to have to overcome some of our critical challenges economically, because you're going to have to be able to fund some stuff for yourself. You have to develop and create institutions for yourself that can serve our people. Then we got to change the belief problem, because we got to stop believing in each other more than ever right now. Let's stop giving up on each other. Even though our people are dysfunctional, hurt, and need healing, it is up to us to foster those relationships that insecure become secure, and that we insulate our children and support them that they can grow up healthy and strong and confident in who they are. Chin up, chest out, ready to go and ready to compete around the world, wherever they are. Becoming the best that they can be through you, through your tools, through your tutelage, through your education. Because all we have to do is commit to excellence, commit to learning, commit to love, and most importantly, committing to loving ourselves. You can't beat that. Self-love is so important. I'm going to the laws of Ma'at, and then I'm going to the lines.
The 42 laws of Ma'at.
That's how we should be thinking about living.
I have not committed sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men or women. I have not stolen food. I have not swindled offerings. I have not stolen from God. I have not told lies. I have not carried away food. I have not cursed. I have not closed my ears to truth. I have not committed adultery. I have not made anyone cry. I have not felt sorrow without reason. I have not assaulted anyone. I am not deceitful. I have not stolen anyone's land. I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not falsely accused anyone. I have not been angry without reason. I have not seduced anyone's wife. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized anyone. I have not disobeyed the law. I have not been excessively angry. I have not cursed God. I have not behaved with violence. I have not caused disruption of peace. I have not acted hastily or without thought. I have not overstepped my boundaries of concern. I have not exaggerated my words when speaking. I have not worked evil. I have not used evil thoughts, words, or deeds. I have not polluted the water. I have not spoken angrily or arrogantly. I have not cursed anyone in thought, words, or deeds. I have not placed myself on a pedestal. I have not stolen what belongs to God. I have not stolen from or disrespected the deceased. I have not taken food from a child. I have not acted with insolence. I have not destroyed property belonging to God. The 42 laws of Maat.
How about that? What a great practice. If you have Christian values, it's 10 commandments. Just practice the 10. If you're Islamic or Buddhist or Hindu, practice the tenets, it's the principles. That's what you got to live by, what you believe in. But you can't do that if you can't be honest with yourself. So let's continue to practice developing moral character, ethics, and values that we teach, train, and develop our children with. We got to become better people. Sorry, we do. I'm going to the lines now. I'm going over to 9116. 9116. It's your turn. It's Empowerment Hour. We right here, 9116. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Oh, man, I'm doing wonderfully well. It's about empowerment. It's about our people.
Right. So, I think that's strong back and move on it. I'm going to say it again, like, be strong in blackness, or be strong.
I like that.
And whatever you want to label yourself as, but be strong, you know, African flag, or whatever you call yourself, on this black diaspora, and move forward. You know, one scenario that I would say, I think about when I say this, be strong and move forward in your blackness. There's so many contradictions, though, you know, when we're dealing with our coming together. So it's so vital that we find, like, a neutral, mutual space. Not shun, you know, not put anyone down for their beliefs, or try to even push our beliefs on the next one. Just find a neutral space, and the mutual space, which is being black, you know. We all can see this mutual space of where we all deal with all these different oppositions and things. Like I said one time before, the whole world benefits from us being in the lower level. And that should be our neutral space that we meet upon and build upon. There's all these different subcultures. Like we adopt so many different subcultures that we put above being black. So I get back to this point I was making as far as I was reading this book, the book that we were reading. You gotta forgive me, man. I'm going off a little bit of sleep.
It's all right. Take your time, brother. I'm glad you called.
The scenario was, yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I'm just going to lay out the scenario. So in reading the book, the author was saying that she disagreed with the theory that we all are different. She was saying that we're kind of all the same. And she was pushed back toward why black people should not feel different than others and this and that. But I immediately disagree. And this is why I say we got to stand strong and just being black and know what's real. And not push all these different, like, unfactual agendas and stuff. Because it only makes more confusion. So to continue to say that we all are the same is not even, like, factual or beneficial for us as black people. Right now is the time to look at the facts and say, okay, we are a little more advanced in this way. Like somebody just said, mm-hmm. slam dunk, spin that thing three times, 360. Who else can do that? They imitate everything we do. Everything we do is a major factor. Like a love story. It's romanticized. So when she said these things, the author was saying things that we're all the same. I was like, we can't be the same. Because even scientific studies show that we have a better nutrient system in our bodies. I'm not just saying these things. These are facts. We now
I like that.
Johnny is born with a diabetic system versus John is a healthy kid. So just to create these disillusions in your mind and not deal with what's real right away, they're not all the same right away. You know, so just to deal with what's real and build on that. And everything comes back to black. So we just gotta build on being black, man. Like, if you look at everything, everything comes right back around to black. Like, I can get detailed and historic and scientific, but everything comes right back around us. So it's just time to be proud of that and move on that. You know, and thank you for the time.
All right. Before you go, let me ask you a question. The theme for today is we must do the work. In what areas do you feel we need to do the work the most?
And you know what's crazy, brother? This is so crazy, right? I was moving around this house, and I set the phone down because I'm doing some work. I just brought a sketch in to my mom, architect. I just brought a sketch in. I just finished measuring, so I'm bringing in the sketch. I'm getting ready to do this and that, right? So I set the phone down, and I did not mm-hmm. catch the topic. But yet, I came with an appropriate response, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like the work we need to do is that, what I just said, and I reiterate, build on being black.
All right.
We got to kind of adopt this lifestyle, just make it a lifestyle and put down the, I ain't going to say put down nothing, you know, because I didn't be a ridiculing person. You don't have to put down anything. Just put black first over that, what you did put first at first. You know, whatever it might be, you might love the NBA, and that's okay, because it can be a great thing that can push us forward, too. It all can be utilized, but just
true.
Put black first, and go ahead and move forward with that, you know. That's what I would
say. All right, brother. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you for the time.
You're welcome. Brothers, right? See, think about it this way, y'all. Being strong and being black is nothing wrong with that. It's an affirmative position as we affirm ourselves, right? Not in arrogance, but in confidence. We've been mistreated, abused, disrespected, marginalized, tortured. You to go on and on and on. What's wrong with having a little bit of self-confidence and a little bit of self-esteem to start loving ourselves again? I think, again, in a beautiful way, not in an arrogant, disrespectful way, but in a very proud way to say, I'm proud of who I am, and I'm going to be strong in being who I am. That's a beautiful thing. It really is. I'm going back to the lines. I'm going to 3376, if you're talking, I'm listening. But again, before I go over to that line, if you want to be a member of the NAAEA, all you got to do is go out to the website, www.naaea.weebly.com. That's all you got to do. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to pay nothing. All you got to do is say, I want to be a part of it. It's a little membership page. Sign that up, you're good. We need people like you to support, encourage the efforts of teaching, training, and developing ourselves, individual, family, and community. All right, 3376, we must do the work. What's the work we need to do? Bring it. Oh yeah. We right here, 3376. Going once. Going twice. Go. All right. Maybe they're just listening today. And it's okay if you're listening. I'd rather have you on the line listening than to not be listening at all. So thank you for calling and listening. So we'll go back to the topic again. What must we do to improve ourselves? What's the work that we must do? And how should we move forward? I believe that there's some goals that we can hit, right? The first step is to examine ourselves, right? To promote and understand and embrace our rich history, our culture, the struggle that we had, the challenges that we had, just surviving in this country, right? If you think about it from 1865 to 1965, that's 100 years. And inside of that 100 years of emancipation and freedom for us, the so-called emancipation and freedom, was segregation, Black codes, Jim Crow, and all of that that we had to work through just the first 100 years. So if we're talking about 1965 to 1975, it's just 110 years. And that's not even a freedom. So this generation right here, here's my point. This generation right here is really the first free generation. Without segregation, without sundown laws, and without laws. Now, there are laws that still contain us, so to speak. But we have more access to resources. But at the same time, the culture has more access to us as well. I think we were insulated with segregation. All right. We must do the work. I'm going over to 7974. 7974, you're up next on the Empowerment Hour. Marvin Rome. Come on. 7974, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, yes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I think only a few points that I would make today is when you ask where we should start. I think people should start relative to their degrees of freedom to start. I think you can make change. Change doesn't have to be overwhelming, and change doesn't have to be when we think about a movement, everybody has a place in a movement. And so I think if you're a parent, how you help your child with the education or re-education, as you all were discussing earlier, how you advocate for your child in the school system, how you kind of advocate for change in the curriculum. So I think sometimes we can think about all of this being so overwhelming, right? But I think little steps from an educational perspective and also from a financial perspective, how we get ourselves financially healthy, right? How do we move from survival to thriving, and then being aware of all of the context around what that looks like, right, for our capitalistic society. So I think that there's a lot of things that we don't learn and haven't learned, you know, as we've grown up. I think access to information, to your point now, is so much greater, but we have to share that information. So a lot of times we get information and we hold on to it. Right. If you bought a home, if you've learned how to manage your student loans through the public forgiveness process, if you've learned how to invest in properties or life insurance, why are we not sharing that information? Sometimes not even within our families. And so I think that using your degrees of freedom, if you went to college, how do you help your nieces and nephews or whoever or neighbors who are in college navigate some of the roads that maybe as a first-generation college student, they wouldn't. So my point is, I guess, is that we all have degrees of freedom and we all have these innate abilities that we could use, and sometimes we just leave them dormant and we don't because, one, we just don't think about it, right? And so I think how do we use those and how do we continue to advocate for our communities. Yeah, and to the point that the other caller made about putting Black first, I think, you know, in this world, there's so many things, right, telling us not to do that, which is important that we do, right, that we say and position ourselves as Black, because race is the one thing that has been, you know, pushed upon us and created and limiting us for so long. But when it comes to talking about it, then it's diminished very quickly. And people don't want to talk about it. That's the kind of work that I do for a living. And people don't want to talk about it because it makes them uncomfortable. But again, we won't get into all of that when it talks about uncomfortableness, right? So that's fragility, right? That's a culture of fragility, particularly around its past traumas and demons. But I think that you have to keep that at the forefront, because a lot of times now it seems like in the work that I do, people want to talk about diversity because it makes them feel good, but they don't want to talk about equity, because equity actually means dismantling systems, or liberation for that matter, where you are disconnecting from those traumatic systems and white supremacy. So you have to keep it at the forefront, and you have to lead with it, even if it's making someone uncomfortable. So I'll end there.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. My sister, thank you for calling. This is beautiful. You're right. Right. How about just being unapologetically Black, right? With no apologies for who we are. Again, we've had a long road of trauma. We'll start with trauma, right? Of the trauma of enslavement and the trauma of the imagery that they used against us, right? You already know all the Jim Crow and blackface and all of that. Those images have been reversed, and now we see ourselves that way, right? And we talk about ourselves in that way, our hair in that way, our lips in that way, right? Our features in that way, chicken, watermelon, and all those things that have been thrust upon us to invade our confidence in ourselves. I say eradicate those things. I say stretch, grow, learn, train, teach, develop, and become the best person that you can be first. If you become the best individual first and then start moving that circle outward, getting to the next person, each one teach one, creating a network of information, right? Information strategies that continue to help us in certain areas. If you want to go into an area, it should be somebody that can help you navigate the area. The sister is exactly right. The brother came and said, we got to build on Black. That's true. Right? Brother George gave us the information on Kwanzaa and said, we have to be more creative. We do. We have to love ourselves. We have to invest and reinvest and continue to invest in ourselves. Right? Because it will be us and only us that can do the real educating and the real developing of ourselves. And again, we have to embrace our roots. Right? We have to embrace our history. And we have to acknowledge that history, right? The bad part and the good part. We just do. But we have to deliver relevant programs and services to our community. We have to. We have to set up educational portals, educational systems and centers that help re-educate our people. We do. Because we need to develop a standard of respect for family, right? Develop healthy relationships, communication, dignity, and most importantly, human respect. And that means that human respect for me is Black Lives Matter, right? To Black people. Black Lives Matter to Black people, right? Eradicating that self-hate mindset that continue to have us to destroy ourselves in the streets. That is what we need to do, and that is where we need to go, and that is what we need to accomplish. How we do that, we need a unified consciousness. I'm going back to Stan for a minute, and then I'm going back to the lines.
Well, I think we fail to see how good and precious life can be. We operate so much in doom and gloom and negativity, causes us to tune out the big picture. When we're able to see how good and precious that life can be, it gives you a willingness to strive into the future. It gives you the foundational tenets to lay down for the next generation to build into their future.
So true.
But if we're always walking in doom and gloom and negativity and trying to get in, to fit into somebody else's reality, that's not it. No, no, no. We are unique. Just like there's nobody on the face of this earth that has fingerprints like you, because you are unique. And when we have that unified consciousness, man, the sky's not even the limit for us. It's not. The brother said it right. We can literally create our state of heaven, and we have to walk in that. It says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to strive to see and even pray how good and precious life can be. And that gives you the opportunity to literally perpetuate happiness and joy and peace and prosperity, because things are being sustained in a sustainable way.
We need a unified consciousness. We need a unified consciousness. We need to come together to build stronger communities, to support the schools that our children are in, no matter where they are. And no matter where we are on the planet or where we are in this country, we have to put together support mechanisms to help us to strive to become better people, better citizens, better human beings. How about that? I'm just talking about humanity right now. What do we need to do in terms of work to improve ourselves? Right? Again, we talked about the laws of Maat. We talked about the principles of Kwanzaa. We talked about the peace concepts and the pillars of personal empowerment. But we got to do the work of cleaning our own acts up. Right? Nothing wrong with looking at yourself and doing the work. Right? Just a little bit of this and a little bit of that go a long way, a very long way to helping us to create sustainable communities and sustainable relationships. And again, it's about giving our children the edge. How do we do that? How do we develop structures that reintroduce love for self and community while fostering brotherhood and sisterhood and the promotion of ethics and morals and values, and most importantly, individual integrity? Those things are important. We have to build alliances. We got to partner with public and private organizations to provide opportunities and resources that will broaden our experiences. We just do. We need resources, right? We need capital, right? But we need human resources as well. We need our people to be better. We need our people to heal. We need mental health services, and we need that desperately, right? You can't come out of the trauma like nothing's happened, because it has. All right, I'm going over to Brother George for just a minute, and then I'm going back to 9116 in just a second. Man, I like this show, y'all. Here we go, Brother George. We right here, Brother George?
Yes, sir.
Okay, real quick. In terms of doing the work, and I hear you say this all the time, you say that we have the ability. It's in us, right? And you talk about how we need to develop our young people. What must we do to pull that out of our young people and get back on the right track?
Well, I mean, you heard the sister talking about it earlier, you know, that there are certain topics that people don't want to talk about because it gets them out of their comfort zone. Well, there's topics that we, like, even amongst ourselves, that we don't like to talk about. because it takes us out of our comfort zone. And some of us don't know how to raise children, and we need help.
You got that right.
Instead of, you know, banding together and helping each other to raise our children, which is what the concept It Takes a Village means, we've gotten a long way away from what we once were. We need to start working collectively and being able to allow someone to advise us. You know, like a person that has knowledge of education, then we should be listening to them, and we should be able to follow their lead without question. You know, I mean, once it's been decided upon, you know, the direction that we need to go, we need to listen to, you know, a lot of our professional African Americans that know what we need to be doing. And we need to listen to each other.
Hmm.
And we can, because like I said, the problem is not that difficult. You know, I mean, we state the problem and restate the problem and restate the problem over and over again. And then it's like, okay, so now who's going to be there? It's not so much even what the solution is. It's like, okay, now who's going to volunteer their time to be there to make this work? And then you hear silence.
Hmm.
You know. But if I say, you know, like, hey, one of my house, man, we're going to get some cannabis and we got a bunch of liquor, my house would be packed with people. And that's sad. But I know it's true. You know, because I've been in both of those worlds. And I know it's true. You know, and we got to get more disciplined, brother. We got to get back to, you know, like Brother Kevlan said about the 42 laws of my house. Here, those are people that never did those things. You see what I'm saying? And so we can't go back. We never did those things. But we can get to a point where we say, I'm going to do all in my power to not do those things. And when you stop doing those things, you'll find that the structures that we once had will start coming back into existence on a higher plane than what we had back then, because everything grows. You know, it doesn't, you know, you can't go backwards. And so our minds are much prepared to go far beyond what was done 4,000 years ago. We just have to use it, brother. We got to start believing in each other, start trusting each other, and having the ability, you know, from another man or woman. And, you know, throughout history, you know, it's a lot of history that backs the fact that we learn from each other. And our culture was that. That's what our culture was, you know. So that's my response to you.
I appreciate it, Brother George, because you're exactly right. Right? So when we believe and trust in each other, because that's what we need, we need so many foundational pieces, right? Because we're all over the place. But if you could just, like a good 1,000-piece puzzle, just connect one piece at a time and continue to work, we could build that. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Well,
I like Brother George. He's a good man. All right. So the brother's clear. Collective work and responsibility is what we need. But that responsibility is for yourself first and then for each other. We came over here together. Imagine a bunch of people coming from the same continent but different places, speaking a different language, and then having to go through this process or experience of enslavement and trying to adjust to that, trying to adjust to the trauma and the brutality, and then trying to make a life out of it and trying to trust the people who enslaved you. That's challenging. Dr. Joy DeGruy says it's cognitive dissonance, right? And so we have to understand how we have had to adjust and adapt. And I think it's the what is it called? The syndrome. Oh, man, I cannot think of it right now. Where your captor captures you and then you fall in love with them. I'm sure somebody know what I, it'll come to me. Stockholm. That's the way. Thank you. Stockholm syndrome, right? We're suffering from that, right? But we also have to get better at being who we are and identifying with ourselves, loving our purest, genuine, honest, best selves, and trying as best as we can to get back our humanity, that humanity that was stolen from us. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm going over to 9116, and then we're going to wrap this thing up. 9116, you got one more round. You in, I'm in. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Last round. So, what must we do? What must we do, brother?
I'm going to build on what Brother George and you said as far as the collective. It's so vital, right? The collective on the note that we can trickle some stuff down, you know. So one thing I feel like we must do, right, just move forward with the ones that, like I said before, the leaders.
Mm.
Like, one thing I know about our culture, the leaders will trickle down what the followers will do. So we got a lot of leaders. We got to just move on the collective, right? The collective of leaders will create a trickling down for the followers. So with the leaders, it all depends on, there's a lot of levels to what we can do and what we should do and what we want to do. But sitting down as a collective and compromising with each other. And finding out what we will do. What we set out to do and just do it. Not try to do it, but just do it, right? So whichever level that might be, we'll have to come together and unify on it and collectively move on it. But we got to look at the ones that sit supreme and kind of study what they do, because at one point in time, they choose us. We were the supreme. And I always tell people the roles will reverse. You will see the roles reverse. Within your life, within somebody, I've seen so many times, you know, the roles are going to reverse. I can give so many scenarios. So at one point in time, they studied the supreme, which was us. They studied us, and then they perverted things and turned it into different things to use against us. For instance, this one small instance, the twerking. They took the twerking, which was such a cultural, historical, sacred thing. And
come on,
perverted
brother.
It to this thing that was perverted, sexual, hypersexual, right? They took power. They took power and perverted it. So depending on what we want to do, we have to look at the supreme ones that are sitting right now and kind of not pervert it, but turn it back into what it was perverted from, if that makes sense.
I like that.
We have to sit and see what it was, see what it was intended, because everything you look at, that they are sitting supremely, came from us. Like I said, it comes right back around to us. You have to sit and dissect it and figure out where it was perverted and get the power back and kind of move how they move, if depending on how powerful we want to be. We have to study.
Okay.
We have to study the supreme ones, which Sun Tzu would call our enemies.
All right.
How you want to move and how we want to move and how powerful we know we can be, we will have to study our enemies first and study ourselves first. Wholly, you know, and just move forward with the leaders, man, as a collective. Have a collective,
all
like
right.
You said, Brother Marvin. I'm not going to hold it too long, but you said on a political level, like build our own little political base of leaders that trickle stuff down. Our own economic base of leaders that would trickle stuff down, financial base. Because I'm gonna leave it alone.
All right, I gotta wrap it up. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.